Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Key, I know you're well-rested, having gotten over 2 hours sleep last night. That's...
You know... Yeah, I
sound like Max Kellerman.
What? I mean, you had to.
Jay, I was talking all day yesterday.
I know, dog. I saw you just on the tube.
And you getting up in the middle of the night, like midnight, right? Like, what time are you getting up? Because you had to go to
bed. I was up at 1:30. Well, my alarm went off at 1:30, but I was probably up at like 1:10 after 1. I popped up or whatever. You know that one, Jay?
Oh, where am I?
Where am I? It's really dark in here. Where
mouth.
Am I?
What time did you finally get into bed, Key?
I got in probably at, I feel like I got in around 10-ish, you know?
Because
I had to eat. I had to eat, man. I was starving. I couldn't eat and watch the draft because I'm not eating all the food.
He's a food
bad
snob.
Food. No, yeah,
he's a food. Yeah, he's a food
snob.
Yeah,
I had to get the. You know, I wind up having zucchini spaghetti. You know, some good stuff.
You talking about when you wipe that drool off your face and it's still warm? You like, oh, what? Oh my.
No, my drool wasn't warm. It was dry.
It was dry.
it had dried up.
You ever do that thing where you dream that you're getting in the you're in bed and your mind tricks you like you're in the shower and you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not in the shower. Like, I'm still
like,
in bed.
I feel like that happens all – like, look, this job is one of the best jobs ever. We're talking about sports for a living.
Yeah, beats
but
working
like,
for a
but
living.
Staying up late night to watch games, like when you're really into it, like key doing the draft.
Yeah.
And then that turnaround to come back and then like all of a sudden like be on, like it's – like just when you go into your REM sleep, it's time to get up.
Pour us. Yeah. Oh, pour us.
I got four with us. I got two with Stephen A.
Ooh.
And then I got two with our NFL Live crew. I got eight straight, baby.
Damn.
So let's go.
I got these four. All right, hold on. Let's match it up. I got these four.
Uh-huh.
Then I got this just in. Wait a minute. I got to prep. I got to write scripts. I got to do all kinds of stuff. And as soon as that's over, I got to get ready for Max Unboxing. Live weigh-in show today. At 5 p.m.
Yeah,
that's why you maxed up.
That's why you're Max Kellerman.
Oh, yeah, so, as I said, it beats working for a living. Anyone out there listening, kids, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, when I want to grow up, I want to get into the sports media business, right? Don't let anyone ever tell you, oh, it's a lot of hard work. That's nonsense. It is not a real job. Well, that is for sure. Long hours, but it's not a real job.
Kyrie's trying to discourage
kids. Speak for yourself,
from being in sports
man.
Media.
Oh, stop it, Key. You sit
speak,
there and give.
Speak
Key,
for yourself.
This is Key's prep. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the topic. And Key, what do you think? All right. This is what I think about it. Now I'm prepped.
Key's ready. Key's always prepped. We're always prepped.
This
Let's get
is
it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. You see how hard that was for me? I had to read that whole line. All right, look.
Heavy
a lot of speculation about if the Steelers would take a quarterback with the 20th pick. Would they move up? Oh, you're going to have to get into the top six to get Malik Willis. Are they going to move up and grab him? They really like Malik Willis. Because early on, it was all about Kenny Pickett. Right? Oh, he's right there in Pittsburgh, and he doesn't even have to go anywhere. But what's his upside? Well, they took Pickett. And Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, was asked about it.
Boy, we circled the globe, or at least the United States here, the last several months, man, just, you know, exploring and researching. And it's funny, we, you know, ended up with the guy from next door. We're excited about it. Just are. To be able to not only know what he's capable of, but to, you know, to see his process, his maturation process, his developmental process. It's just a great deal of comfort, and we're excited.
Right next door, like literally right next door. He can go out of one door and into the next and switch from being the Pitt Panther to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just that simple and easy. I'm a little shocked that they took Kenny Pickett, but I also understand why. I mean, they have familiarity with him. They see him every single day walking in the building. They had the advantage when they did the research and scouting, because he's right there. You can, they share everything together, the practice field, the weight rooms. I mean, it's like, it's a mirror image, basically, of one another, the university's football program, as well as the organization of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just thought they wanted a more dynamic playmaker and a guy like Malik Willis because of his ability to be able to run. Early on, Mike Tomlin talked about how he wanted a dynamic running style quarterback that can move around and do a lot of different things with his feet just in case he needed off-schedule plays and got in trouble. Malik Willis, on the other hand, didn't go yesterday. He'll go today, most likely, and they got the guy that they coveted, I would assume, all alone in Kenny Pickett, so they're pretty happy.
You see, when I was watching that last night, the first thing I automatically thought about was Mitchell Trubisky. Like, all right, like, you know what time it is. Like, competition is going to be good for everybody. Now, this whole thing that we had before about it being yours and, you know, you're going to be the successor to, you know, everything Ben Roethlisberger did in Pittsburgh and this whole thing. Yeah, now the quarterback competition has gone up another notch. You know why? Because it's gone up in the division, Key. So now a guy like Kenny Pickett, he may have smaller hands, but I like him. That was something that you always heard last night. There's like one caveat around Kenny Pickett. But I'm just wondering, Key, like, if you're Mitchell Trubisky, do you feel a certain type of way this morning?
No, because they probably communicated with him the entire time and told him that they were going to select a quarterback in this year's draft, just didn't tell him it was going to be a first rounder. But I'm sure he realized they were going to add depth to the position. Now, do I think Mitchell Trubisky is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett? I do, but that's just me. Doesn't mean that because they selected Kenny Pickett that – all of a sudden, Mitch Trubisky is in the fight of his life, and he's going to be the backup, and they're going to start the rookie. Ron Wolf always said, general manager Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame type general manager Ron Wolf, has always said, you take a quarterback every single year. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just basically stockpile your quarterbacks, and he did it for years in Green Bay. And I think that this is something that you see with Pittsburgh. You don't. There's not enough of them, period.
Hey, Key, what does this mean to you? Kenny Pickett, he's a mature quarterback, meaning he's not like, you know, he's older than some quarterbacks playing in the league.
But
looking at his college career just, you know, since 18, right, because he started a lot of games.
Turned the ball over a lot.
Well, but look at this. 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 13-9, and then he's coming off a 42-7 year. Like, I get it. You're getting older. You're getting reps and everything. But when you go from a guy who's about 2-1 or less than 2-1 without a whole bunch of touchdowns, and then you go to 42-7. Like, how does that production jump like that?
Well, because you first of all, your game is slowed down for you in college. The college game is slowed down for you. You're better. You're a veteran. You know, you're fifth-year senior, four-year senior, something along those lines. You should be better.
Yeah, I get it. But Key, like Josh Allen, we talk about, you know, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 20-something to 10, then 3-1, then 4. Like, there are steps. But this dude is like, he's putting up the same kind of production. Okay. And all of a sudden, damn, 1 year. Did a switch flip?
I wouldn't necessarily say it flipped. I just think that when you look at a guy's production, it has something to do with his growth. And I think that when you see things over and over and over and it repeats itself, you can self-evaluate and self-scout and not make the same mistakes that you were making early on in your career. Mm. Most guys, when they get to their junior and senior years, they're going to be better than their freshman and sophomore year. It's just the way it is. You should be. And if you're not, then you're probably not going to be in the first round.
Sure. You know what I'm trying to think? When is the last time there was only one quarterback selected in the first round?
In a minute.
I don't know.
I saw the stats.
I believe it was 2014 when EJ Manuel went to the Bills. I believe that's the last time.
Wow.
2013.
Yeah, and then also, by the way, in terms of his production, you know, he was a sophomore when he started, when he, like, he was, you know, playing a lot and coming up. And then as a junior, that was the COVID season, right? So that's going to reduce your production just because of circumstances, number of games played, stuff like that. So it's not like a year-over-year kind of normal, smooth trajectory if you go back and look at it. I get it. But, damn, 42-7, you're like, he really produced. Malik Willis, meantime, still on the board.
And yeah, that was actually 2013.
What's that?
2013. Yeah, EJ Manuel.
Yeah, I think before that it was like 2000 when Chad Pennington went, and Tom Brady went in the sixth round.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like once every 10 years.
Please stop, Evan.
So Malik Willis, guys, is still there. Pickett went in the first to Pittsburgh. Malik Willis still hanging out. Second and third round coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio. Someone's going to get a quarterback that a lot of people thought was going to go top six, maybe as high as two. Day two coverage begins tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Are the Packers going to get a wideout in the second round? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
He has that style. He has that freshness. That's all.
Sports Illustrated. Some people have a whole article about your draft suit and how it was ahead of its time.
I'm like 180 pounds, and I got like a 5X. So I had my entire family outfitted.
Were they all in the suit with you, or they were in different suits? Because that's a big suit. You could fit a lot of people
that's
in that.
About, hey, Max, that's about right. Did you see Jay's draft suit?
Oh, yeah. Jay's waist
was the size of his daughter's. The rest of the pants were huge. The jacket was all the way down to his knees, and he didn't even have it made like that.
It was
that.
A tuxedo, baby. That's it was time to party.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, they were out last night. They were out.
I don't know what the hell he got on, man.
With a low-cut T-shirt underneath and a sport coat.
Key, yeah, I love the smell of new money, Key. I love the smell of new money.
Oh, you're saying these kids don't come from a long line of money? The way they're dressed, I figure they – this is, you know – this is old money.
There's an acclimation period,
landed
man.
Gentry.
There's an acclimation period. It takes a minute.
By the way.
Some of them dudes look like they got dressed in the dark, though.
Let them live. Let them live.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Grade your team's first-round pick or picks. I know Evan's giving his Jets an A+. You got to.
Plus, 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 plus.
Pat likes what his Eagles did, also an A+.
1,600 on SAT is actually what he said on the text message.
Yeah, I mean, I like what the Giants did, but they just didn't mess it up. Like, let me wait and see, but nice. They did very well so far. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, you want to hear from Hakeem in Rhode Island? He got something to say. What's up, Hakeem?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I never thought I'd see the day. I never thought I'd say this. I'm losing my faith in Bill Belichick, man. I'm giving us a D-. We had a chance to grab Nakobe Dean in the first round. We go Cole Strange. The only thing strange about that is taking him in the first round. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's probably going to be great. But come on, man. I don't know what we're doing anymore. So
he doesn't have an immaculate draft record, Belichick, Key. He's missed on some draft picks.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
but he's
go,
hit Max. On some, too,
there you
Max.
Go.
Come on,
you
man.
See, okay. Hey, wait. Did you see, do you see Max's eyes, Key, light up when he heard a team? He said, ooh.
Let's be honest, though.
No,
come on.
Max, he's hit on some. And yeah. Look. I think it took everybody by surprise because the first thing they're looking at the school. They're looking at Chattanooga and like, well, what is this? They're not looking at an SEC school or nothing like that. They're looking at a small school. So they don't really know what this player is. And Bill probably worked him out himself. He's got plenty of film on him. He has something in his mind, idea-wise, what he wants to do with him. I don't have a problem with it. It's not a Key. It's not a splash, sexy pick like everybody wanted, but I don't have a problem with
Key,
it.
Jay,
I don't know where it is.
The reason I bring it up about he doesn't have a perfect track record with the draft is because when Belichick drafts someone, my instinct is to think, oh, damn, he's probably really good. You know, everyone's going to have their eyebrows raised, but he probably is a real good pick. I'm just pointing out that Hakeem is like, hey, I don't know what he's doing. even if that's your instinct to think, yeah, they know something, the Patriots got this covered, he has straight up just missed on some picks in recent years, and kind of high picks too, like one of the reasons Brady took off, right? Let's be honest.
I mean, he's missed just like everybody. You go point to the misses.
Thank you, Key.
Well.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, I'm just the guy has won 6 Super Bowls, man. He's won 6 Super Bowls. Yep. Like, every GM misses on picks, Key.
But
like,
the people
how many
who say
without
yes,
Tom Brady?
Right? There's no answer to that.
Because Brady's
the
got one without him. So how many without Tom Brady?
Oh, God. Max is, Jets fan is too out much. Here. And then I got a Jet fan. Like, come on, man. Like, y'all beating me up on both sides.
Heckle y'all just need Jekyll. To get to the playoffs, Evan. Y'all focus on getting to the playoffs.
Same with the Giants. Focus on getting to the playoffs.
So I'm a Jets fan, so I can't ask a serious, like, legit
no,
question?
No, because it comes from a biased place.
No, it doesn't. It comes from fact. The fact is Tom Brady has 1 Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has 0 without Tom Brady.
That's
that is
true.
A fact.
You can't,
that
like,
is a statement.
And it's hard. It's hard to argue. It's like hard. It's a hard
if
one to answer. And he didn't have Tom Brady because he kept missing on draft picks.
Oh, God, stop. They went to the damn playoffs the year Tom Brady left.
Oh, my God.
Be quiet. You guys are unbelievable.
This is horrible.
So,
this is horrible sports radio.
You want to get into something else here, guys? You want to get now that we were all over Belichick and Brady and all the, how about let's get on Aaron Rodgers now, okay? Can we turn our attention and
that's familiar.
Start laying out some Aaron Rodgers cheese. Actually, that works in Green Bay. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, who's
you didn't even know you were going to say that. That just naturally came out of your mouth.
Yeah. Who's the Packers quarterback, in case you were uninformed, was on the Pat McAfee show on YouTube and was asked about the Devontae Adams move. Listen to this.
It was a little surprising with Devontae. Obviously, when I made my decision, I was still thinking he was going to come back. You know, I was very honest with him about my plans and my future and where I saw, you know, my career going as far as how many years I wanted to play. But I felt like, you know, he was going to be back. Didn't obviously turn out that way. But I have so much love for Tay and appreciate the time we spent together and definitely wish him the best with Derek in Vegas. But that's a big hole to fill for sure.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like Devontae Adams didn't like the conversation that he had with Aaron Rodgers about Aaron Rodgers' future because the Green Bay Packers wanted to keep him. They offered him more money than the Las Vegas Raiders, but he elected to go to the Raiders simply because he knows that Carr is going to be there. He knows the future with Carr. It's not this 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I don't know. I haven't decided. And that's hard to deal with because – especially if you see yourself being somewhere for a long time and then all of a sudden you're messing around with another quarterback because your quarterback decided to do something different. So I could see why he would leave, though, because Aaron Rodgers didn't give a strong enough commitment to the Green Bay Packers and to Devontae Adams, it sounds like to me, and he took what Aaron Rodgers said and he made his decision.
It just it feels like when all this stuff was happening – and you know the history with Devontae Adams that they didn't give him the bag the way he wanted it from the beginning, right? There was always this procrastination that felt like, oh, franchise tag him, all this stuff. And then you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who is jockeying for more power. Just hearing Aaron say that, Key, makes me think like that relationship was never that tight to begin with. It went wrong somewhere.
I have a question for Aaron Rodgers.
No, Key, you give me like a weird face. Like,
no, I think he was up front with Devontae Adams based on me hearing what Aaron Rodgers is saying. I don't know this is fact, but just saying he communicated with him where his career is and where things are now, and Devontae, it feels like he didn't want, he's like, that's not for me. I want to be somewhere in a situation where I know the quarterback is going to be there, so I don't have to worry about the wishy-washy. The Green Bay Packers offered him, again, more money than the Las Vegas Raiders gave him to stay in Green Bay. He elected to move to Las Vegas, almost called it Oakland, but move to Las Vegas to play with his college teammate.
So I have a question for both of you guys, and it's really for Aaron Rodgers, but he ain't here right now. To me, the biggest piece of news that came out of that, but we still don't know the answer to it, is Aaron Rodgers said, he told Devontae Adams what he was thinking in terms of his plans. Can we play the sound again? I want to play the Aaron Rodgers sound again. Listen to this, because I have a follow-up for Aaron Rodgers.
It was a little surprising with Devontae. Obviously, when I made my decision, I was still thinking he was going to come back. You know, I was very honest with him about my plans and my future. And
okay,
where
right
I
there.
Saw.
Okay. I was very honest with him about my plans and my future, right? And where I saw myself. Okay, what is it? Because you're going year to year right now. So if you're on, did you tell him something like, look, I got two more in me, one more in me, and that's why he took off?
Max want to know.
He's such a germ.
Max ain't the only, but Max ain't the only one that wants to know. Fan wants to know.
That's not germ spreading. That's Aaron Rodgers germ spreading. That's Aaron Rodgers going, here are the breadcrumbs. I told Devontae Adams what I'm thinking, but I'm not going to tell you. So I'm going to keep you guessing next offseason, just like I did last offseason and the offseason before
that's
that.
That's why there's more speculation, because then he says, well, I was surprised that Devontae didn't stay. Like that operative word kind of caught me off guard. I was surprised. Like that's why I started to question the relationship. Because if I have a conversation with Max or you, and I'm like, I feel like I know you. We built a bond over time. I feel like I know what you're going to do. Especially if you're telling me your plan, your quote unquote plan.
Like you would know what I was planning.
But
yes.
two years isn't long enough for a guy like Devontae Adams. So if you are Aaron Rodgers and you're sharing with Devontae, oh, I'm going to play one more year, maybe two. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just going to take it 1 year at a time. You're kind of leaving it vague and open. Devontae's going to decide to do what's best for him and his family.
Yeah, but we're speculating on what that plan was, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that – that's why it leads to Max's question. What do you mean?
But Aaron Rodgers ain't going to tell you, so why even try to find out?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, you know who the happiest guy in the world is about that? Pat McAfee. Because Aaron Rodgers is going to talk about, I'm not germ spreading. I might be taking the cheese, but Aaron Rodgers is laying it down every week on Pat McAfee's show, and we eat it up. By the way, Key, I got another question for you off this, and I intimated it earlier. So I noticed Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I know they ball no matter what. They're ballers. I get it. But the fact that they played in college, they went out and got him as college receiver. They even got Trevor Lawrence as college running back. Now I'm seeing Derek Carr and Devontae Adams. Now I'm seeing Hollywood Brown and Kyler Murray. What this does not, to my recollection, it was not a thing that used to happen in the NFL all the time, but it seems to me an increasing, like a trend where they're giving the college quarterback his college wideout. What's going on?
It seemed that way, right? Because you got Tua and Waddle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have the ones that you mentioned, but it just may be falling that way. I don't think it's
a lot though. Key
seems like you're something with familiarity.
Four or five guys is with their college teammates. I mean, you know, it's.
But part of that might be
that way.
Part of it might be because, right, you're getting input from your players, and the dudes want to play together. Like Derek Carr and Devontae want to play together.
Well, Hollywood Brown was in the Oklahoma system, so he was in the air raid. Mm-hmm. So he's familiar with the air raid system. They probably looked at it and said, if we get Hollywood Brown, who understands this system, who played with Kyler Murray, he's a better fit for what we're doing than what the Baltimore Ravens are doing. And they go out there and they get that guy.
Can I bring it back to Green Bay for 1 second?
Please.
So then who's the number one wideout for Green Bay? Alan Lazard?
You.
They got to get somebody.
They ain't got nobody.
Granted, there are no wide receivers, it feels like, left, but on the board, it's like, once again, the Packers have not drafted a wide receiver.
No, there's plenty of receivers that's left. What was the number that went yesterday? Six in the first round?
I'm looking, but who? Yeah, like, that's why the reason I brought up Mechie Key is because I'm looking for guys with upside. You know, like someone who could be maybe spectacular, possibly, who you could get in the second or third.
Yeah, Romeo Dobbs from Nevada. Look him up. Romeo Dobbs from Nevada is probably 6'2", 210 pounds, can move. It's ridiculous. Like, he's ridiculous. He's a guy in that second to third round range that, you know, you sit there, he can return punts and stuff, that you sit back and you go, I like him.
Now, among the three of us, we have one Super Bowl championship. It doesn't matter who won it. Let's not – who's counting? But between the three of us, we have one Super Bowl championship. We're going to get the reaction of a two-time Super Bowl champion, Damian Woody, with us this morning. Morning, Wood. D. Wood, you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
There it is. You heard what we were just talking about, Aaron Rodgers. What is your reaction to Rodgers talking about –
Matt, yeah,
he got taken by surprise.
Never mind. I just want to make sure. Did you say morning, Wood?
I did. His name is Damian Woody, and I said good morning.
You said something else.
Hey, phrasing!
It was awkward.
Okay.
It was awkward.
Morning, D. Wood, is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
That's better.
All right. Maybe not, though.
We're building.
No, not morning. Still awkward.
All right, see, Jay's
all right, Damian. I'm a child. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, grow up, good. Jay. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Morning, Wood. What's going on, man? Nothing. D, Wood, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
Are you frozen, Wood?
I think so.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Oh. I was just waiting for y'all to get past what y'all was talking about.
But as far as
Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams?
Yes, Aaron Rodgers being surprised by Davante Adams. D. Wood, what do you think?
How in the world Aaron Rodgers can be surprised by Davante Adams? Like, you talking about the guy that's paid, what, $50 million? What would surprise him about anything as it relates to Davante Adams? Like, that don't even make any sense to me. Like, this dude should be plugged in not only through the organization, but Davante Adams himself.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. Aaron Rodgers, though, expressly said, Key, he was surprised. He didn't say he wasn't. He was surprised, and he let Davante Adams know his plans, and Davante took off on him, Key.
You know, yeah, that's true. So we had Dan Graziano on with us earlier, and we played his game overreaction. And he said that we asked him a question about Lamar Jackson signing an extension. Is it an overreaction if he did not get something done in the immediate future? What do you think about that, Wood?
Key, I mean, judging from last night's reaction with that trade by Hollywood Brown, I mean, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, how do you not run it by your MVP quarterback? Because it seemed like he was shocked, absolute shocked. Now, I don't know what the Ravens' plans are as far as, you know, filling in that hole, you know, with the trade of Hollywood Brown. But, man, like, to me, that just seems like a bad look that your quarterback, your star quarterback, doesn't know that you're making that type of move as an organization.
Is this going to affect their relationship, though? Like, he's the star quarterback. They want to keep him. Hollywood Brown is gone. Do you think all of a sudden now this relationship with Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, is now, like, fractured?
Listen, man, when you put them zeros out there, like, anything can be, you know, you can get past any type of you know, discourse that you have with the individual. But I'm just saying, man, it was like, of all the things that happened last night, to me that was the most shocking, and just seeing the reaction play out in real time on social media.
So, Damian, I was curious. We just had a caller call in and kind of go on a rift about Bill Belichick and their draft selection last night, and just saying it was kind of underwhelming. What are your thoughts on that in general?
Well, listen, I get it. I get it. You know, the Cole Strange, he's a guy that – he's a good player. First and foremost, let's say that. I don't think people thought that he was a first-round pick, but he's a really good player. I think the question that probably Patriots fans probably have is, why would you spend a first-round pick on a position that's not a premium position if you're the New England Patriots? I know a lot of Patriots fans are looking around in the AFC East and seeing all the moves that are being made. You know, Buffalo's a Super Bowl contender. the moves that the Miami Dolphins have made this offseason. We clearly see the moves the Jets have made via free agency and the draft. So I just think that, you know, a lot of Patriots fans and people that follow the Patriots are looking at this thing saying, where does the Patriots fall in the pecking order of the AFC East right now?
Mm. So if we're asking that question, then let's follow that up with the Jets. Where do the Jets rank in the hierarchy of that division with what they did last night?
Well, listen, I think they had a phenomenal night in the draft. There's no question about it. I think they got three impact guys, three starters, with those three first-round picks. You know, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to, you know, jump out on the ledge and make some type of crazy declaration, because at the end of the day, you got to go out there on the field and prove it. But at the end of the day, I think Joe Douglas, with all those draft picks that he's had at his disposal, and he has a lot more, you know, moving forward, I think he's really planting the flag and saying, look, you know, we're here now.
Hey, I want to get back to Belichick. Go ahead, Key.
Woody, when you look at the draft yesterday and all sorts of things happened, but the Philadelphia Eagles made some noise in the NFC East. They acquired A.J. Brown from the Tennessee Titans via trade. What did that say to you about what the mindset is on Jalen Hurts?
Key, like, you got to get it done this year, right? Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are providing you with all type of weapons. I mean, think about the skill that the Philadelphia Eagles have on the offensive side of the football. You go out there, you get A.J. Brown. You know, you drafted Devontae Smith last year, the Heisman Trophy winner. You got Dallas Goedert at tight end. Miles Sanders in the backfield. Like, I think the organization is saying, listen, we need to see major improvement, because this team was a playoff team last year. This team should be competing with the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, to win the NFC East.
Thank you, Damian Woody. Always good to see you. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So A.J. Brown was not the only big win for the city of Philadelphia last night.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We have Coach Seth Greenberg with us now. And, Coach, we got to get into a lot. I mean, what a performance from Chris Paul. But the 76ers, I mean, just when it looked like their back was against the wall. But we have some breaking news, or as I like to say, this just in, Coach, to Twitter. I'm back. This was tweeted by Jay Will. You just tweeted, I'm back, Jay.
Well, I made a decision over the weekend that I'm going to try to make a comeback attempt.
What do you think about this, Coach? He's 40 years old. He hasn't played in about a century. What do you think about this?
The guy was two-time player of the year in college. I mean, I don't put anything by my man Jay Will, you know what I mean? I mean, physically strong, plays downhill. I mean, yeah. I'd give him a shot. What do you think, Jay Will? You need a trainer?
I'm training, Seth. I'm letting people know I'm training. This is serious. Like, I'm not around.
Yeah. You got to get by Bart Hahn first, and then you got to.
I'm not really worried. I'm not worried about Bart Hahn at all.
Bart Hahn, I don't know. Who you got, Alan Hahn? 6'5", most improved player of the year when he was in the fourth grade. You got to get by him first before you get back.
Why, what makes y'all think I'm worried about Bart or Alan Hahn?
All right. Let's talk about
Seth, guys. Do you see my face right now? Do you see it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've seen that face before.
That's what time it is.
I've seen that face before. Yeah, I'm happy I didn't have to coach against that face. My man's not playing.
That was James
Harden. By the way, I've heard those conversations about those 2-on-2 games. I mean, Keyshawn, just stay out of my man's way. That's all I would say.
Hey, Seth, speaking of staying out of somebody's way, Joel Embiid last night, James Harden, game 6 on the road in Toronto. James Harden, 22 points, 15 assists. Joel Embiid, 33 points. They were dominant. They took the game seriously. Do you give the 76ers a legit chance to get by the Miami Heat?
I don't. I think the Heat are too connected defensively. I think the Heat will keep him out of the lane, be able to defend him one-on-one and not have to help. You got to remember now, hey, you're talking about a 76ers team. They were 61 for 91 off passes from James Harden. Well, you know what? They're not going to overhelp off James Harden because probably Jimmy Butler's going to get matched up with him, defend him one-on-one, so they don't have to overhelp. Now, I thought Harden was terrific, and everyone's talking about the points and him being more aggressive. Just him attacking. Mm-hmm. His ability to attack makes the game easier for obviously Tyrese Maxey. It makes it easier, obviously, for Tobias Harris. It makes the game easier for Joel Embiid. And then if you can make a jump or two, that's great. But I look at the Heat. The Heat's a different animal. The Heat's just a different team defensively. They're more connected. They have the ability to defend the ball one-on-one. They have the ability to switch 1 through 5. Unless they can get Bam Adebayo in foul trouble, I think that the Heat win this series probably in 6.
CK, this is my thing about this series. Like, Miami switches everything. You can't switch if you're Bam when Joel Embiid is involved in action. Like, you have to stay on him. And also, like, the psychological battle here, Jimmy Butler was that dude on Philly with Joel Embiid. Like, I wonder, Jimmy Butler knows stuff about how he operates in Joel Embiid. I'm curious to see that stuff play out, Key.
Well, you know what? That was, what, 3 years ago that he was in Philadelphia? This is a different regime now. And so I don't know if it's the same. I know you look at a player skill set and you might say, okay, I know what he's doing, but then – coach would know the sets that you're running is totally different on the offense than when Jimmy Butler was there. So, therefore, the player, I'm assuming, is doing something different because of that.
What about like a big brother?
I think the biggest thing is ball screen defense.
Yeah. What about
here's the thing, guys. Coach, what about the ball screen defense?
What about the psychological thing, though, that was just touched on? Like, Jimmy Butler was his guy, but he was also the veteran, right? He was also the guy who – you know, this was not Carl Anthony Towns he was dealing with, although there were certain similarities. He didn't get along with Towns, right? But Embiid seemed to want to be great and eventually turn the corner. Does that do anything when a player who was once like a friend and a mentor comes back and, especially with the chips on the line? Does that mean anything to you, Coach?
I don't think it means anything. I mean, look, here's the deal. You try to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, it's that plain. It's that simple. And right now, the 76ers in the way of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler wants to get back and try to win a championship. Jimmy Butler is a focused dude. The one thing we know about it, he's improved offensively. He's been more aggressive offensively. But he makes his money by being a fierce competitor. That's not going to change. In the end, this series is going to come down to one thing. Keeping James Harden where you don't have to overhelp and defending those spread ball screens with Embiid and Harden. Flat out, that's what it's going to come down to. Because it's not like the Sixers is that good an offensive team where, you know, you're playing a team where you're going to have to get 120 every night. This game's going to be won on the defensive end. This series is going to be won on the defensive end. It's going to be won, I think, with the Heat just that being that much more connected defensively and more consistent defensively and more weapons. I mean, you look at the bench. I mean, when the Heat go to their bench, they have guys that can impact winning. I'm not sure that the Sixers have that, you know, versatility coming off the bench.
Coach, what was your reaction to the perfect game by Chris Paul last night?
Oof. Incredible. Incredible. I mean, to me, I thought Chris Paul got better, obviously, in the second half when he stopped worrying about Jose Alvarado and just said, I'm going to take over this game and just be Chris Paul. Chris Paul has a PhD in ball screen offense. All right. But the amazing thing to me is Chris Paul was absolutely phenomenal. He's one of the best players in the history of the game, one of the best point guards to ever play. But why do you continually let him get back to his right hand? I just don't understand it. The guy's impossible to keep out of the lane going to his right hand. But look, to me, it was one in a couple of different ways. Chris Paul was dominant. There's no doubt about it. And in the second half, C.J. McCollum getting in foul trouble, I think, really hurt, obviously, New Orleans. But Chris Paul, what can you say about it you haven't said before? I'm going to tell you one thing. I was wrong because a couple of years ago, I thought he lost a step. He couldn't get by anyone. He's getting by people. Not only is he getting by people, but when he gets by people, his ability to feel and read the defense. I don't remember. Jay, well, you got to help me. Is there another guard in the last 10 years that reads the defense as well as he does?
No, Seth, and I said this before too. He might be the best leader in sports that's never won a championship. I do want to ask you, what do you think will be the most entertaining NBA Finals matchup?
About 30 seconds.
In terms of
entertaining, Seth, blockbuster.
Man.
Front of the newspaper. Everybody wants to watch it.
Everyone wants to watch it. I would like to see the Heat and the Suns. That's me. But the most entertaining, you got to have Golden State because Golden State's just too much fun to watch.
Golden State in Boston, maybe not? Not Golden State in Boston?
Yeah. Oof. Except Boston's defense will slow that game down to a grind.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's the East Coast teams, right, the Eastern Conference teams, are all built on the defensive end. Obviously, the West Coast teams are built on the offensive end.
Thank you, Coach Seth Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen. One city took over the NFL draft. That's next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.